Let's just pray together. Father God, we just thank you that you are building your kingdom, that you are building your church, God. We thank you, God, for your children sitting here tonight that's got a heart for you, a heart of expectation, a heart to see you work. We need more of you, God. We want to see more of you. We want to see you change us, change the world, change our friends, change our families. God, change this country that we're living in, change this government. And we know that only you can do it. And so we pray tonight, God, that you will give us the keys to unlock what you say you would unlock. And give us the keys, God, you gave us the keys to lock that needs to be locked. And open our hearts tonight, open our ears tonight, make our spirits so acceptable for the working of your spirit, because we know you are in the house. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Let's give him a hand of praise. Hallelujah. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked his disciples a few questions. And Jesus, you know, I think he was trained by Yonkor as a facilitator for a small group, you know, because he started to ask his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? You know, he starts far away, you know. Who do the people in the streets say I am? You know, and it's like a small group facilitator. You know, you need to start far away, you know, to get the people talking. Otherwise, all of them are, you know, that's still and, you know, looking around, you know, what's going on here. But if you say, what does the others say? You get a response. So he asked them, who do men say that I am? You know, and they start talking, you know, the next verse say, you know, some of them say that you are John the Baptist, and some say you Elijah, some say you Jeremiah, but they all agree that Jesus was something special. He was a prophet. He was something special. If you spend time with Jesus, you would know that he was something special. And then he turned on the screw, you know. And then the next verse he says, but who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And that question is the most important question that you and I will ever have to answer. Because what you and I believe of him is what we will receive of him. Because Jesus said, let it be according to your faith. So guys, it is so important. Who do you say I am? And if we walk through the pages of the Bible, we will see that God reveals himself all the time. Isn't that fantastic? You know, he reveals himself. He makes it possible for you and me to know him. He makes it possible for you and me to have a relationship with him. Like Lucille said this morning, he uses everyday things so that we can understand something of who he is. And he is totally different than who we are. So, you know, through the Bibles, through the pages of the Bible, through history, he revealed himself, you know, to Abraham. When Abraham was obedient and Abraham brought his son Isaac to offer him on the mountain, he said, I am Jehovah Jireh. I am the God who provides. And you know what? When Abram went up that mountain, he believed one thing, and that we read in Hebrews. You know, he said, God will bring you back from death. You know, he believed that God is able to raise the dead. And that's what Hebrews said. He received him, as to say it, from death. You know, he was willing to offer him. You know what, David in Psalm 23, the most famous psalm, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Roi. You know what, that is who he is. He is the one who guides me. He is the one who protects me. He is the one who cares for me. He's the one that anoints my head with oil. You know, some of the translations says that he receives me as a guest of honor. That's the way God treats us. And so Jesus is asking his disciples, who do you say I am? because what I believe of him is what I will receive of him. So I need a revelation of who he is. And in this part of scripture, you know, Peter answered and he says, you are the Christ. Actually, they were speaking Aramaic at that moment. I think so. They weren't speaking Greek. And he was actually saying, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. Now, Christ and Messiah means the same thing. Both of it means the anointed one. You are the one we're waiting for. You are the Son of the living God. And then Jesus started to speak certain things about church. And let's just clear it out tonight that church was God's idea from the beginning. You know what? Church wasn't man's idea. It wasn't a few guys coming together and say, hey, we can make money out of this thing. Hey, we can draw a few fools, you know, and we can make money out of it, you know, we can become very important people. And so many times we look at church that way, you know, because there are so many phonies outside doing that kind of stuff. But God said, I will build my church. So church was God's idea from the very beginning. It wasn't man's idea. It wasn't something that man thought out. And what is the implication that church is God's idea? It is that church should be what God wants it to be. You know, all of us sitting here have a certain idea of what church is supposed to be. You know, for some of us, you know, we can all night just praise and worship him. Pastor, there needs to be more praise and worship. Rick, there needs to be more praise and worship, you know. And then there's others, you know, they said, no, church must reach out more, you know. It doesn't reach out more. We need to reach out more. And some, they come for the word, you know. They, you know, sorry I missed it, but I'll get the, you know, get the message somewhere. You know, and sometimes we must care more for each other. So each of us, you know, we have our own idea of what church is supposed to be. But you know what? Church is supposed to be what God wants it to be. So it's important that you and I find out what is God's idea about church. Am I talking to the right crowd tonight? Because I see people that's hungry for God. I see people that's got a passion for God. So let's just talk about a few aspects about church. The first aspect about church is the aspect of divine revelation. And I think that is a good point to start. Because Jesus said in verse 17, he says, blessed are you, Simon. That bar is not the wrong bar. Where you go to drink and watch your rugby and all that kind of stuff. It's just a word that means son of Jonah. Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven revealed it to you. So the first aspect about church that is important is divine revelation. We need to be able to hear from God. You know, when we were praying this morning and the marriage couples needed to pray for each other, you know, I loved it. Even this morning as we were praying before the meeting, you know, people say, I'm seeing this picture. And God is saying something to me. You know, we need to be able to hear God's voice. We need to be able to hear what God is speaking to his children. So church is a place of divine revelation. It started on divine revelation. And it's so important that you and I, that we can hear from God, that we can draw from heaven what God is speaking to us. And whoever you know that you want to hear him speak, you need to make some effort. It's like Lucille preached this morning, you know. Don't get on the wrong side of the lady. Keep on the right side. and men find it very difficult. I don't know why, you know. But okay, we won't go there. Church is built on divine revelation from God Himself. Where there is divine revelation, church will be blessed. It means that we need to move in what God is showing His church. We need to move in what God's heart is for His church. You know, sometimes we so many times think, you know, I want church to be this. And then we want to do that. But divine revelation is moving with God and not our own ideas. Because God says, blessed are you. God blesses the church that moves with divine revelation. In Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus is saying when He was tempted by the devil. And the devil said, you know what? If you are the Son of God, and you know, Satan, the devil will always attack you on your identity. Are you still with me? Because just a few verses ago, when you step back in the gospel, you know what the Father said to Jesus, you are my beloved Son. And the first thing that the devil attacked him on was his identity. And you and I need to affirm our identity. Who we are in Christ. He says that, he said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, if you are that special, tell the stones to become bread. And Jesus said, you know what? My identity doesn't lie in performance. It doesn't lie in doing something significant. My identity is that I will live from the very word that proceeds from His mouth. Man will not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the word of God. So we need His word, because it is His word that gives us life. And in every situation, it is His word that gives us life. And you know what? Sometimes we try to find the answer. We try to find the solution. And you know, you're not like me, but sometimes the last thing is that we pray. And sometimes the first thing we need to do is to pray, asking Him, God, what is your heart on this issue? God, reveal unto me what you want me to do. And so is church. Church is built on divine revelation. God has a plan for His church. You know what? He waited for His church to be born for so long, for more than 4,000 years. When He called Abram, the word says Abram was looking for a city. And when you read in Hebrews 11, it talks about, the writer of Hebrews says, you have come to Zion, the city of the Holy God. So church is something very, very, very special. And we're moving towards that which is so special in God's heart. And when Jesus left the earth after He hanged on the cross, and after, you know, He went to the Father with His sacrifice and says, Father, this is a sacrifice I brought you. And the Father gave His acceptance of that sacrifice. And all the disciples were together in the upper room. And they were praying in unity. They were praying in one accord. They sorted out their problems. They sorted out all their differences. The whole story about, tripping over the broom. Who left the broom here, you know? Can't you pick up the broom and all that stuff? They sorted out their problems. They were in unity for what God wanted to do. The word says, and while they were in one accord, the Holy Spirit was poured out. That was the birthing of the church of Jesus Christ. You know, they were together. They were seeking God's face. And God was speaking and God was moving. The second aspect that I just want to mention is the aspect of changed identity. You know what? Church is a place where God changes lives. Church is a place where people have stories about life change. How God changed my life. How God worked in my life. How He turned my life upside down. Any of you have a story like that? You know, and you know, that gives strength to the church. when people stand up and they tell their story. And you know, your story is so important. You know, your story tells about the power of God. The power of God to change lives. Because the world cannot change lives. I remember not long ago on Friday nights on ETV, they had a program on makeovers. Anyone remember that program? You know, in our house, we looked that story. What was that program's name? Extreme Makeover. It was just for half an hour. But we looked that program, you know, like it was a soapy, you know. But God doesn't do makeovers. You know what? God transforms us. He transforms us inwardly by His Spirit. He changes us. And it's only God that can do it. You know, I remember when I went to my mom when I was in grade 10 and I said, "Mom, you must help me." Or actually, I didn't add words. I just stand there with a little evangelistic leaflet in my hand. And she said, "All you have to do is to accept Him." But that moment, it became life to me. That moment, God worked something in me. His light shined on that word. And I just realized I had to give it to Him. And I could, I could just sense how this burden is rolling off at the cross of Jesus. And how do I accept Him for what He did for me on the cross? So church is a place of changed identity. Jesus said to Simon, Simon means reed. He said, you were Simon, but now you are called Peter. And Peter means rock. Jesus changes reeds into rocks. He changes identity. And what He calls you is what His identity for you is. And you and I needs to live that identity because only He can do it. God changes lives. He changes people. And I wrote down here, you only change as a result of divine revelation. You know what? When God speaks to you, when you hear His voice, and sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks in this soft voice, you know what? He wants to get your attention. And it's when we listen to the Holy Spirit that God has the ability to change us. I wrote here, you only change by receiving divine revelation and by working with that grace. Grace is, let me just say it, divine enablement. It's God enabling us to do what He wants us to do. And you know what? When we say yes to God, the grace kicks in. Is when we obey that the grace becomes stronger in our lives. And you know what? God wants us to work with that grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says there, we then as workers together with Him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. What does that mean? Every time God speaks to you, it's His grace coming to your life. You know, every time He gives you a picture, it's His grace working in your life. Every time, you know, that He gives you a dream or, you know, sometimes it is just, you just feel something inside you. It's the Holy Spirit working in us. And you and I need to work with that grace. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when Paul was testifying about his own life, he said, I did not receive the grace of God in vain. He said, God had a plan for my life. No, let me put it differently. God had a dream for my life. And you know what? I worked with that grace. I moved with that grace. And because I moved with that grace, God could do in me and through me what His dream, what His plan, what His purpose for me was. Changed identity. Then the third aspect is God says, I will build my church. I will build my church. And church is about building people. You know what? Church is about people. I remember long ago when I was at Bible school, I studied theology, and then I went to Bible school, and they had a video subject we had to look. The guy's name was Bob Nichols. And he said, you know, he said, as love is the gospel, so people are the ministry. You know, church is about people. You know, this building is not church. This is a hall. You know, the church is people. That's why Peter said, you know, you must be built in like living stones. So church is about people, God changing people, God working in people, God doing something in people. And God is working in people. People is God's heart. Church is about building people, about building God's people to live their divine purpose and destiny. God had such a dream for Paul. You remember in Acts chapter 9, he was going to Damascus. He was persecuting the church. And God said, you know what? I've got a plan for this man. And you remember he was he riding on a donkey? I think so. But he was, either was a donkey or a horse, but I think it was a donkey. And he was riding on this donkey, and there was this light shining from heaven. God stopped him in all four of his tracks, and he was falling down the donkey. And he had the conversation with God. And God told him, Paul, I have a plan for your life. I've got a dream for your life. I want to take you before the kings. I want you to testify before kings and princes and people in principalities. And God did it. That's why Paul said his work, his grace in me was not in vain. And we must move with the plan that God has for us. God is building his church. You know what? Church is not a bless me club. You know, sometimes we think church is a bless me club. You know, I come here to be blessed by the praise and the worship team. Thank you, praise and the worship team. You know, and we can, if they were good, we said, wow, they were good. And if something happened, you know, yeah, okay, let's not go there. Okay. And you know, and you know, if we've got that mentality, you know, we want to be fed and we want to be loved, and you know, it's all about me. You know, how do I feel, and what's my emotion, you know, and the pastor must bring a word, you know, that will help me. And but you know what, church is people that God is sending out to change the world. Actually, if you go and read the Bible, church is about the community of world changers. It's people changing the world. When you look at Paul's story, you know, if you look at the book of Acts, you know, yo, man, that people got persecution. You know, they were persecuted. They went into a city. Paul started to preach in the synagogue. The next moment, the people of the synagogue, they wanted to kill Paul. So he had to move with his disciples or his few disciples, find a place, you know, and build into people Christ, because it's all about Christ. They had a hard job, you know. You know, that he was preaching the gospel. I think Paul got stoned how many times? Where's the Bible school students? Help me. A few times. You know, he got whipped. You know, that's why he's an apostle, because they, you know, they just go forward and forward and forward and forward. There's a job to be done. The church needs to be built. You know, the people needs to hear the gospel. And they were people with a different mindset. They were people with a different mentality. You know, when the persecution broke out in Jerusalem, you remember the. In Acts, you know what? There were people, ordinary members, and they went to Antioch. There were no pastor among them. They started a new church in Antioch. And later on, the apostles hear about it, and then they send Barnabas. Say, hey, go and look out the scene. You know, go and look out what is happening there. And the word says, he saw the grace of God that was working there. And he came back and gave a report. And it was the Antioch church that sent out Paul. It was not the Jerusalem church. So church is God says, I'm building my church. God says, I'm in business of building people. Church people are important to me. And I'm building into their lives. Church is a place where people are prepared to become vessels of honor in the hand of God. God wants to use us. God is looking for an army. Are you still here? Okay. And in the army, you want to use certain people. You know, you want to send people that can go and evangelize. Vasgili, you know, winning people for Jesus. And then you need people who can intercede. You know, who can pray, and you know what? Who can pray for hours upon hours upon hours. Not all of us can do that. And then you need people who will confront the powers of darkness, who will pray for the sick, you know, who will pray for those who are demon possessed or, you know, who are who've got problems with this evil powers. Okay, God wants to send us. He wants to send us on the 24th to make a difference at the creche. Amen. Say amen, Marley. You know, he needs people. He needs people that he can send. Church must act in the spirit and power of Elijah. In Luke 1, this is amazing scripture. It's about John the Baptist. And the angel said to his dad, Zechariah, he said, he, John, will be great in the sight of the Lord. Wow, isn't that a great word? Wow, isn't that a testimony? He will be great in the sight of the Lord. And he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. God was preparing this man. God had the purpose for him. God had the destiny for him. And he said, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, turning people, bringing them back to God. And then the next scripture said, he will also go before him, that is God, in the spirit and power of Elijah. Now, what is the spirit and power of Elijah? It turns the hearts of the fathers to the children. What the church need is fathers. Okay, the spirit of fathers. He said he will turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. God is a God of righteousness. Okay, and we as his children need to live righteous. That means a Christian businessman doesn't wheel and deal. You trust God, not your wheeling and dealing. He wants a company of righteous people at the marketplace, at your work. God wants righteous people. And then it says, the last one, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And that thing, to make ready, means, you know, it's to prepare people that God can use. And that was the task, that was the job of John the Baptist. You know what? Jesus' last command to his disciples was, went into the whole world, make disciples of every nation. So the angel said to Zechariah, he will make ready a people that God can use. And that word, to make ready, it's there on the screen. The next one, it means being ready for action. God is a God that he loves action. And you know what? And the word says he wants to prepare us for action. The world needs to be saved. You know what? There's a spiritual climate over Paul. You know what? We can turn that spiritual climate. Amen. We can turn it so that the climate is conducive, that God can work, that God can touch people's lives. You know what? God needs people who can give their testimony. And you know what? All of us has got a messy story somewhere. Like they sent these pictures over Facebook. Your mess must become your message, your testimony. It goes on and on like that. But, you know, it's God, you know. And God, in his graciousness, he, you know, everybody's life somewhere, there's a mess, there's a test, there's a something. Because why? so that we will be gracious. So that, you know, we will understand his graciousness. So God wants to use us, and you and I must be ready for action, because God usually uses us when we least expect it. You know, that person walking up at your work, you know, how's the weather today? He doesn't want to speak about the weather, you know. There's something, and you and I need to be connected. Say, okay, God, what's going on here? What do you want to do? Are people ready for action? The same Paul, God met him on the road, and God said, you know, went to the town, to Damascus, but now he was blind. And then God needed someone who could pray for Paul. And he spoke to the guy with the name of Ananias. And he said, Ananias, go to Straight Street. Okay, there's a man there praying. His name is Paul. He's blind. I want you to pray for him that the blindness will go away and that he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Ananias said, God, that person, do you know him? But when God spoke to him, he was willing to go. He was obedient. And you know what? God wants to use us. Somebody said God's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. And sometimes we think, what can I do? But it's not what you can do. It's what God can do through you. And that's the kind of people that God is looking for. And then the fourth aspect is that the church is victorious. Isn't that fantastic? Verse 17, it says, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. You know what? The gates of hell will not have prevailing power over the church. You and I know that when you make a decision to serve God, we say in Afrikaans, dan jy hel los. But the enemy, he wants to neutralize you, you know, and he's trying everything in the book, you know, from shame and guilt and anything. But the church that Jesus came to build, because Jesus said, I will build my church. Because you know what? It is his church. And he loves the church. This morning Lucille shared that scripture in Ephesians chapter 5. He said that Jesus gave his life to the church. And usually when I do marriages, I'm telling the men, you've got the most difficult part of this thing. Because he says, men, love your wives. As Jesus loved the church and gave his life, you know, for the church. God says, you know what, we in this thing, and God is working. He's working. Church is victorious. It says there, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So it's his love that changes us. Now, what is the quality of this people that are able to prevail against the gates of hell? Because you and I must know that the enemy will attack us. If you make a decision to stand up tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock to have time with God, guess what? There will be an attack. There will be an attack on it. You know, if you decide to do good, there will be an attack on it. I remember ages ago while we were doing evangelism on a Tuesday evening, and one of the things they trained us is, remember, on a Tuesday, everything at work will go wrong. And you know what? When you need to come here, you know what? There will be problems at house. But you must, you know, make a decision. I'm going to be there. And you know what? If we want to live for God, we must make a decision, because the enemy are coming to attack us. What is the quality of this people, or a certain quality of these people? I'm just going to mention a few, just to tinkle your minds. They are developed and trained in kingdom lifestyle and principles. You know what? We need kingdom lifestyle. we need to live righteously. You know, we need to do family God's way. We need to do a business God's way. We need to do finances God's way. You know, our whole lives needs to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. The next one says, they are wholesome in all aspects of life in order to manifest Christ's likeness of character. You know, the people that the powers of darkness cannot prevail against, they have character. To serve God, you need character. You need Christ's likeness of character. The third one says they are disciplined and mentored in different levels of gifting and maturity. You know what? The gifting that God gave me must develop. If you're an evangelist, it needs to develop. If you have a prophetic gifting, it needs to be developed. You know what? God needs the church to be strong. God needs the church to be what He wants it to be. The follow one says, they have a worshipful heart and a passion for the presence of God. Oh, that is so important, you know, that our hearts are worshipful, that we have a passion for the presence of God. People who are worshippers, their hearts change very fast. If God speaks to them, they can change their hearts. You know what? God loves worshippers. Are you still with me? There's a scripture that says it. He's looking for worshippers. In John, there's a time, and the time is now, that the Father is looking for worshippers who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Okay, and is this the last one? The honor covenant relationships in marriage, in family and ministry and church life. You know, covenant is important. God is a God of covenant. You know what? Marriage is a covenant institution. Church is a covenant institution where we need to honor covenant. It's like Lucille preached this morning, you know. Husbands, how do you need to behave towards your wife? You know, all the smile that Proverbs says, you know, he has find a wife, has find a good thing. But don't call her your thing. Treat her like you need to treat. Is there another one? Or is that the last one? Is that the last one? Thank you very much. Okay, yeah, that's the last one. They express Christ's compassion to reach the unsaved and meet the needs of the community. So guys, church is not about us. It's a God thing. And God is training a people. He's training an army. He's training a body of people that can be His arms and His legs and His heart. Because the world needs to see Him. And the only way that they're going to see Him is through the church, is through us as a corporate body. You know what? When you got saved, it's about you and Jesus and the wonderful relationship you have. But there comes a stage when you realize, you know what? There's more than just me and Jesus. And that is us and Jesus. And the purpose that He has for us. And where He wants to go with us. And what He wants to do. You know, I like this, the shofar vision, you know. It's to reach nations and generations. That's God's plan, you know. And says how to do it, you know, by disciple making, by developing leaders, by planting churches. That's how we're gonna change the world. But you know what? To live that vision, there needs to be people that says, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to be discipled. I'm willing to become a leader. You know, when you're a Christian, you live on this level, but when you become a disciple, you move to the next level. When you become a leader, you move to the next level. When you become a church planter, you even go further to the next level. And then you say, God, here I am. Work in me, God. I want to be what you want me to do. And the values that go with it, you know, passion for Jesus. Hey, man, that's why we love. We are in love with Jesus. People to serve, a power of belief. And the purpose to pursue. God's got this for us. But He got this for us as a corporate body. You know what freaks me out? Jesus' prayer in Matthew 6. When He starts, Our Father. He's got an our mentality. And we need to get that. God, what is Your heart for us as a body? as a church, where you're going, what you want us to be. You know what? It's not about me. It's about you and what you want to do through us. Amen. Let's just pray together. Hallelujah. Now, Father, we just thank you tonight that you are building your church. We thank you, Lord, that you are in the process of touching people's lives, of changing people. And Lord, yeah, we just want to say sorry, God, for that we are so many times so individualistic, thinking just about ourselves and our needs and our sorrows. And we know it is important to you. But God, you've got such a bigger plan for your church. And we want to be part of it, God. We want to be part of what you have for this corporate body, of Shofar Peril and for the Shofar family in general. Because you have put us here, God. Not at the other family. You have put us in this family so that we can be part of what you want to do here. And we know, God, you put us here because we fit in what you want to do. So we just pray tonight, God, that you will deliver us from, God, all selfish thoughts, and just work in us, God, your heart, your desire. Like Lucille prayed this morning, God, that our prayer and your desire will meet, God. It would be compatible. That what we pray, you will give because it's on you.